You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
The second scripture reading for the night is Psalm 51. I know it's a long one, but I'm going to invite you to read it responsively with me. I think the musicality of the psalm really comes out when you read it like that. And during Lent, it's important that we take the time. And so I'm glad to be able to take the time with you as we read this psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my sacred heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen. And so begins another Lent, the season prior to Easter, a season of penitence and fasting. This is a solemn season in which we prepare our hearts for the depth of despair found in the passion of Jesus Christ, his brutal and dehumanizing death. This is a time of minor key music, of shrouds. In Lent, we remember the temptation of Christ and how he overcame those temptations as he fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. This is a good practice. I love Lent, the idea that there's a time in our calendar reserved just for breathing and preparing, that there is just this carved out space and time in our lives where we just try to get ready. And it all starts tonight, Ash Wednesday. Soon we will participate in the imposition of ashes, which is a tradition that reminds us of the truth found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, which says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Because tonight we recognize that we all will someday return to dust. For some of us, the specter of death, whether ours or someone else's, is as close as our right hand. For others among us, it is an abstract that can be feared, but not often thought of. But tonight, here, we recognize we are human beings, made from the dust by God, and our bodies are destined to return to that earth from which we were made. This is not to scare us, but to reassure us that we are here. We are here together in this time. So Lent is a time of remembering our deaths, remembering Jesus' death and temptation. It is a time of preparing ourselves for embracing a mystery that we will never fully understand. But one other thing that we remember during Lent is our baptism. In the ancient Christian tradition, Ash Wednesday was the entry point into the catechumenate, which is a time of preparation before you receive the sacrament of baptism. The 40 days and 40 nights were a time not just as a preparation for the death and resurrection, but a preparation for everything that being a Christian entailed. These 40 days and 40 nights were a time to learn, a time to grow, and a time to prepare ourselves for that sacrament. And so in light of this preparation for, and for many of us here, a reminder of our baptism, it colors the psalm we just read, a psalm of confession and contrition, in which the psalmist says, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." This confession leads then to a petition for cleansing, for renewal, for healing. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So this confession and this request for cleansing, it takes on a new meaning when we look ahead to our baptism. The Constitution of the Presbyterian Church, the Book of Order, it says that the sacrament of baptism holds a deep reservoir of meaning, which includes dying and rising with Christ, pardon, cleansing, and renewal. In our baptism, we are washed clean, as the psalmist asked. Ash Wednesday is a time to confess, to acknowledge our frailty as human beings, to show our penitence in the face of a world that responded to God's breaking in with violence. But this confession isn't mere self-flagellation. Rather, it's a way of remembering God's mercy, even in the face of those sins. Because we know that that mercy stems from God, that we are not able to cleanse our sins ourselves. And so we turn to God, confessing, asking for cleansing. The psalmist confessed and asked God, and that's what we do during Lent. By acknowledging our human frailty, we also acknowledge that we're not able to do this on our own. We can't cleanse ourselves by ourselves. Our fasting, our repentance, our penitence, none of that cleans us entirely of our sins. Think about a dirt floor. You can sweep it and remove a layer of dust, but I wouldn't recommend mopping it. Only God can get us clean. We can repent, we can change our behavior, but nothing we can do will replace that love and mercy. So we ask for God's mercy, and being assured of that mercy, we then move to repentance, knowing that we will never fully do it ourselves. But our confession opens our hearts to the fruit of repentance. By reminding ourselves of our deaths, we are reminded to fully live. We confess not because we do the work ourselves, but because God has done the work on us. Lent's 40 days reflect the 40 days that Jesus spent being tempted in the wilderness. In the Gospel of Matthew, the temptation was the second thing that Jesus did when he entered the public sphere. At the beginning of his ministry, that's the second thing he did. What was the first thing? It was his baptism. In his baptism, Jesus received the Holy Spirit, and God's voice came down from the heavens saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus' temptation happens already after receiving the blessing. That's why as we enter the Lenten season, we remember our own baptism, cleansed before we could even lift a finger for ourselves. The 40 days before Easter, excluding Sundays, that's the Lenten season, and there's a reason that we exclude Sundays from that. It's because even amidst and amongst our reflecting on our mortality, on our preparation for the Passion, on the recognition for sin, we remember resurrection is part of our story. That is why Sundays are not part of Lent. In the Book of Common Worship, it says, "Sundays in Lent are not counted among the 40 days, as every Lord's Day, every Sunday, is a celebration of Christ's resurrection." So during Lent, we may put aside our loud alleluias, but even if we mute the words, the good news of Jesus Christ will shine through. Because the ashes wipe off and our spirits have been cleansed. Tonight, we receive the ashes to remember our humanity, our frailty, our brokenness. We prepare ourselves to be open to the greatest and holiest mystery. We receive the ashes aware of our death. We receive the ashes remembering that our bodies will become dust. But we also receive the ashes knowing that we will live again with a God who will never cast us away from God's presence, who will never take the Holy Spirit from us. Though our bodies may be dust, we will live again with a God who will restore to us the joy of salvation and who will sustain in us a truly willing spirit. Amen.